Just spending a few moments speaking over there with the accomplished violinist family. I wish I would have been able to hear it yesterday. I hope some of you made it, watched and listened to the music of the children and the adults, and that's just great. Couple announcements I want to make. One is, believe it or not, June is almost gone. July is coming around the corner. And on July 9th, we have our church picnic gathering. And so that's a Saturday afternoon. What we're going to do this year is it's going to be a bring your own. What do you call it? Potluck. Potluck. Now, there will be chicken provided. We're going to provide the chicken, but the rest of the meal will be potlucks. Kathy's put a sign-up sheet so you can sign up for what you want to bring to try to get kind of a balanced type of a meal. I know that some of my friends don't like chicken. So if somebody likes to make meatloaf, meatloaf is welcome. I got a good friend that tells me he doesn't eat chicken. I said, how can you be saved and not eat chicken? I mean, because that's what you're going to have up in heaven every Sunday afternoon. I know that because of what Grandma had. And so if she's got anything to do with the menu, we're going to have fried chicken every Sunday. Anyway, God bless you. That'll be sign up for that. That'll be a good time. Bible school, there's still some items that are needed for Bible school. There's a sign-up sheet, and you can donate some items for that, and that'll be good too. Went last night to camp meeting down at Circleville, they had the camp meeting going on. Today's the last day down at Mount of Praise, and it was Ohio Christian University night, so I was a little disappointed because I love the old hymns, and mostly it was the newer music, which is fine with the younger kids there and everything in the program. But they told me, they said something about the school and as far as evangelical schools go, evangelical Christian schools, there's only four left in Ohio, they were saying, that's standing true to doctrine. And those schools were, of course, Ohio Christian University, Malone College, Cedarville, which I know we got some kids going to Cedarville College or University, and Mount Vernon Nazarene. They say the rest of them are probably much falling away from some of the doctrines because of pressure or otherwise. So I was a little bit surprised at that. And there may be some we don't know of that are smaller schools or something that they didn't mention. Maybe they were, you know. But anyway, that was kind of a news to me. But it also has talked about the problems of the world. The problems in the world today, and we know they're there. We have unrest and disquietude every day. I can't, you know, every day you turn the news on, somebody got shot in Columbus. It's a terrible thing. When I was a kid, we never heard of that sort of thing. But it's very prevalent today in the news and whatever. And, I think as Christians, we realize a lot of the problem is we've gotten away from his story, you know? They've gotten away from the biblical and biblical standards, and they've taken the godly image out of human life, and they have, he said in every story there is the setup and the the setup, the interruption, the situation, resolution. The climax, the resolution, and then the story continues. He was talking about that in a biblical sense, and, you know, there was creation, and then there was sin. That was the interruption. And then there was the nation of Israel to bring about a Savior who was Jesus, you know, which is the resolution. And then there will be the new creation. So the story will continue. The story will continue. It's we're in the midst of it now. But if we would stand by that and understand that God created humans in their image and that these laws that he gave us in the Ten Commandments are true and laws, you know, we should abide by those, we would be in a much better place in our communities today. So I just threw that out there. What I want to do now is turn the microphone over to Chris Steinbrecher for a second. She's going to talk to you about Bible school. And then Roxanne Finley has some exciting news she wants to share about our missions program. So,
thank you, Russ. Good morning. Just a quick reminder about Vacation Bible School again. Hope you're praying. And again, our biggest thing is that we are prepared to be able to give the Vacation Bible School the message of Jesus and the sanctity of human life message, that life is precious and it comes and begins by God. Today in our study in Sunday school, we were talking about John the Baptist. And do you know that the Holy Spirit, he was filled with the Holy Spirit while he was in the womb? Isn't that interesting that John the Baptist filled with the Holy Spirit in the womb? Just a reminder for those who are in Vacation Bible School, if you're able to come to our next meeting, it's Thursday, and it's at 6:30. So pass it along if you're looking around and thinking, oh, somebody else needs to hear that. That's this Thursday at 6:30. And I just really quickly, I wanted to say thank you to, or just introduce you again to my sister Kathy and her husband Mike. They're here visiting from Georgia. Some of you guys, Kathy especially, Mike has joined us a little bit, but joins us on Zoom. So I've been very, very blessed to have them this week, and we got to go with them for the first time, go to the Ark, and be able to see the Ark. If you haven't been there, it kind of, you look at the expanse of how big that is, and you can never have enough time to be able to go through there. You know, there's so many things that are written, but it was great going through there. So I want to introduce Mike, because Mike, would you come up here? When Mike and, when I was over at their house, In April, I noticed upstairs he had a showcase of something called challenge coins, just a whole bunch of challenge coins. Mike was in the Marines, retired Marine. We have any Marines here? I think we have some, or we've got some military for sure. And are you familiar with challenge coins? Yeah, a little bit. Some of you guys maybe. He had these challenge coins, and I came down and said, man, you've got a lot of these challenge coins. And he gave me the history again. Our dad had given us a challenge coin one time when he was in Switzerland. He was a part of the Geneva Convention, and he came and greeted us, and my dad, for each one of us, kind of shook our hands, and he left a coin in our hands. And I want to show you, for Vacation Bible School, this has a reason I'm talking to you about it. For Vacation Bible School, we're going to do something similar, and so I want to kind of introduce what we're going to do, and it's going to be a way for our kids to be able to memorize a verse, get a coin, and hopefully to be able to pass on the message of Jesus and invite them to come the next day to Vacation Bible School. So I'm going to demonstrate how it's going to look, and we're looking for donations for people. If you want to help give towards these witness coins, we have quite a few, but I think they're going to be good even for our church, and so he's agreed to come up and help me demonstrate. So the word is coin. It's a witness coin instead of a challenge coin. And the kids are going to be doing that. So I kind of looked at it and thought, how can I make it easy for the kids to remember? Because on Monday, when they come to the park, we want every child to go away with two coins. One coin they get to keep. Another coin we're hoping that they will pass on. And this is the way it's supposed to look. C is make a connection. So in their mind, they're going to say, who do I want to tell and give this coin to? So they're going to connect. They're going to say maybe a sibling, maybe a neighbor. And so they're going to make a connection. That's the C from coin. And then O, they're going to come over to that person. They're going to open their hand and reveal what's in their hand to this person. So I'm connecting with my brother-in-law here, Mike, opening my hand. And now I'm going to make my impact statement, C-O-I, and I'm going to pass this on to him. And if I was in the Marines or a military, it'd be a handshake, and what's left is this coin, yeah. And on that coin, there is a picture of Jesus. And the coins have a really beautiful picture of Jesus. It's made out of metal. And in the back, I don't know if you can read it, it's John 3:16 is on the back of this one. So I've made a connection. I put it in his hand. And now I'm going to invite him and say, guess what I was at? I went to the park Monday, and I went to Vacation Bible School, and I learned a memory verse. You want me to tell you what it is? He says, man, tell me what it is. And And so I tell him John 3:16 with the one that's on here, and I tell him that verse, and I say, it's so exciting. We had a lot of fun. I met a lot of amazing people. We played games. We had all sorts of things. Look, I made this, and I tell them all about it, and I say, then I invite them. And so that's that. The next step is I invite my friend and say, do you want to come tomorrow to Vacation Bible School? And you can keep that coin. And if you come tomorrow, they're going to give you another coin. So you'll have two coins, and you can pass one along. Do you want to come with me tomorrow? So that's kind of the idea. So thank you for coming up. But pray with us. These coins, we really want them to be a really good witness for the kids. You can keep that one. And we've got more. And so that's the idea. Pray about it. Maybe God will, put that in your mind to do it. These coins only cost about $1.50 per person. The ones that he has, about the cheapest one is 8, 12, 10, I don't know how much, but they're expensive. So they're a great witness tool. So thank you.
Well, we certainly have a lot of exciting things going on right now. And Russ said, I do have some exciting things to tell you about missions. We have just so many wonderful people in our church, and I'm so grateful for that we, our church family is so generous and willing to share what they have with others who can then use it to help others. So I thank you all for that. You know that we've been collecting for our pregnancy decisions for the last month, and we do that yearly normally when we send money to them. But we, in the past, have been able to send, maybe $300, $400. But this year, we had a grand total of $1,023. So they'll have a representative here on Wednesday to come and pick that up, along with some other things that have been donated to them. And in the future, we hope to have somebody here from that organization to give all of us some more information of just about the specifics and how they help women who come into their office building not sure if they want to have the baby that they're carrying, or keep the baby that they're carrying, and they help them to decide on many, many occasions to be able to do that. And there are a number of these organizations across the United States, and maybe you've heard in the last month or so that they have been going through some trials. Some of them buildings have been firebombed or had bricks thrown at them, that sort of thing. So these people are working to serve God, and are have a number of challenges that they have to go through as well. So keep them in your prayers. And again, thank you so very, very much. Also, mark on your calendar. I don't have this specific date, but the end of September we'll be having our mission conference. And so just keep that in mind as well. Thanks.
Good morning, everyone. In keeping with our music program here at the church, which I think this church has a lot of good music programs that we've done through the years. And unfortunately, I missed a wonderful concert yesterday out of town, but I did come by just about the time it was over and saw a lot of cars out there. And I thought, well, that's great, you know, the people supporting the music, because I think we need a lot of music in our life. Yeah. I know you're probably fairly familiar with Psalms 95, 98, and 100 in the Bible. And I want to read a little bit from Psalm 98, because it has to do with music, where it says, sing unto the Lord a new song, for he hath done marvelous things. His right hand and his holy arm hath gotten him the victory. The Lord hath made known his salvation. His righteousness hath he openly showed in the sight of the heaven. He hath remembered his mercy and his truth toward the house of Israel. All the ends of the earth have seen the salvation of our God. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all the earth. Make a loud noise and rejoice and sing praise. Sing unto the Lord with the harp and the voice of psalm. With trumpets and sounds of cornet, make a joyful noise before the Lord the King. And that's something to keep in mind, because I think maybe I have been accused of making a loud noise before with my music. But it's nice to be able to use those skills and talents to come up and be able to sing praise and worship to God so that we can use those talents. And some of you, most of you probably know that we have a little group that we've had through the years here called the Life in Christ Pickers. Now, we haven't been very active through 19 and 20 and 21 because of the COVID situation. But they wanted me to lead some of the congregational singing today, and I wanted to include as many people as I could to come back for that. So we're going to sing some of the some hymns here for you, and I'd like to have you join in. So if you're able to, if you would stand, and we're going to sing through three hymns here.
What a fellowship, what a joy divine, leaning on the everlasting arms. What a blessedness, what a peace is mine, leaning on the everlasting arms.
Leaning,
safe and secure from all alarms. To walk in this pilgrim's way, leaning on the everlasting arms. Oh, how bright the path that grows from day to day, leaning on the everlasting arms.
Leaning,
leaning, safe and secure from all alarms. Fear, leaning on the everlasting arms. I have blessed peace with my Lord so near, leaning on the everlasting arms. Leaning, leaning, safe and secure from all alarms. Leaning on the everlasting arms.
Amen.
That sounded great. Maybe you guys should come up and join us when we perform out.
Let me walk close.
I'm Coming Home. Is it? You guys think we should let them continue singing? Is that?
Definitely.
Okay. We definitely need the help. Yeah, we had a big lot of rehearsal for this, as in just 9:30 this morning. That was it. So.
I wandered far away from God. Now I'm coming home. The paths of sin too long I've trod. Lord, I'm coming home. Coming home, coming home. Never more to roam. Open wide thine arms of love. Lord, I'm coming home. I've wasted many precious years. I'm tired of sin and straying, Lord. Now I'm coming home. I'll trust thy love, believe thy word. Lord, I'm coming home. Coming home, coming home. My soul is sick, my heart is sore. Now I'm coming home. My strength renewed, my hope restored. Lord, I'm coming home. Coming home, coming home. Lord, I'm coming home.
Amen.
Thank you very much.
Well, good morning, everyone.
Thinking about that song, it's always good to go on vacation, but it's always good to be home, isn't it? To get back to where things are familiar, and you know where people are, and you know who people are, and all that stuff. So
we had a good week this week. We were at the Ark, and Mike was telling us about how he was there when it was built, and all the things that were different that they constructed today. And just kidding. But it is amazing that it's huge when you see it. It's just a humongous thing. You can't believe it. But we were impressed with the woodwork they did in there, and all the beams they used, and the bolts, and the floors. And I don't know if you've seen it, it's an amazing thing to see. I expected more animals, but they had some animals in there, and it was nice to look at. And it was a fun trip that we had, so it was a good time. So I did see Ernie yesterday, and he was doing okay, but I guess Steve talked to him this morning, and he had some kind of a nosebleed. So he was at the hospital, and they put a little plug in there for now, and they got to cauterize something, because he has somewhere he's bleeding in his nose somewhere. Okay, so he's not sure what day, but it'll be one of these days coming up that he's going to be there. So, anybody have a prayer they want to prayer or a praise they want to share this morning? Dan's the biggest one. I got to go to him first.
Well, I'm going to open up the can and just say R.V. Wade overturned. And one thing that we have to consider is that that's just the Fed level. They've transferred that back to the states now. Mm-hmm. So you need to contact your state legislators on how you feel about that topic. And so it was monumental, but the fight is far from over.
You're closer.
Okay. So this is something God laid on my heart last night. I love my husband. When I so we went out to eat, and when we do that, I go, oh man, I'm full. And he says, well, that's the whole point of the exercise. And I go, well, yeah. And I just want everybody to know when we're singing, praising God, here to worship, talking to people, it's about Jesus. And that's the whole point of the exercise.
That's good. That's good, Holly.
My brother Gary, who earlier this winter had a massive heart attack, which they called the Widowmaker, and he made it through that, you know, thank the Lord. Yesterday morning, he had went to breakfast with my sister and other brother, and when he got there, he told him, you know, hadn't been feeling well, and it wasn't moments later he passed out. So they took him to Doctors West Hospital and yesterday, and he's still there. I spoke to my other brother this morning, and what they know at this point in time is his heart rate is 50 beats and less, under 50, and normal heart rate should be 60 to 90, so he won't see the cardiologist until tomorrow. So if you guys will remember to keep my brother in your prayers, Gary is his name. All righty, thank you.
Mm-hmm. It went way down to 35 when he passed out. That's how low it went, 35. So I praise the Lord that he is still with us. So he's only 58 years old.
I actually have two. The first one is Alex is finally leaving on the trip we've been talking out for 3 years. she leaves this Friday morning, so if you can remember their whole group, she's going with her choir to Spain and France. And then also the reason she's not here today is her boyfriend Jimmy that's been coming. He found out a week ago when we were at my family reunion that his cousin committed suicide. Mm. And Jimmy's not... He doesn't show a lot of emotion. He actually came and found Ray and I, and I mean, it's really affecting him. So I asked him if he was okay with me sharing that, and he said yes, and then he paused and he said, I want you to share it with him. So if you can remember him, the funeral's tomorrow.
Most of you heard the good news I received yesterday about my breast cancer, and that my concern, of course, was the lymph nodes, and they came back all clear. So I'm praising the Lord for that, and thanking you all for your prayers and your love and your support. And when we sang that hymn this morning, leaning on the everlasting arms, that's what we need to do with Jesus.
Amen.
Fran's doing a lot better. Yesterday, she was sitting in a chair, and she said to me, I want to go lay down a little while. I'm tired. And I said, well, I'll get you some help. She said, I don't need no help. I'm going to do it by myself. So if you think for 1 minute that prayer doesn't work, let me tell you, it does. Hey.
Pastor, I'd like to come forward.
Okay. 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 No kissing, I'm sure, so they're probably fine. All right, let's pray for Randy and Troy as well. So let's pray this morning. Father, we just thank you for your blessing on us. Thank you for watching over us, for keeping us safe, for Sandy's surgery that went well, and that you're with Ernie this morning, Lord. His nosebleed, and we think of Donna, Lord, with some sores she has to take care of, and for Troy and for Randy with COVID, for Larry's unspoken requests, and Lord, for us as we intercede for others, there's many people out there we need to be praying for Gary, Steve's brother, and just different ones, Lord, that may or may not have been mentioned. Lord, this morning, as Holly shared, we're here to be filled up with you, not to keep that to ourselves, but to share it with others through our words, through our actions, through our prayers. Thanks for Fran that she's able to get up and then go and lay in bed by herself without help. So we pray for continued healing. Continue to be with us. Pray for Jimmy, Lord, as he's going through this time of loss with a cousin. For Alex, as she'll be traveling. For the McAvoys, or for all these ones that we've heard about that had problems or issues or sickness, that have had COVID. I know my wife's sister had it, and a granddaughter of my sister-in-law that have had it, and other ones, Lord, that have had it. We just pray that it doesn't come out to anything major. It'll be just a light case, just like the flu maybe or something, and then go away. And just pray for those who can't be with us this morning, Lord, those who are on Zoom that are here with us. And God, just guide us and direct us. Be with Chris as she sings her special this morning, and Brian as he leads the music coming up towards the end. And we just pray you'll be with your word in your name. Amen.
Am I on? I do have a praise that I wanted to share with you. I've been on two journeys just in the last couple of weeks with my sisters and brothers from church. And God really, I always ask Jesus to ride with us when we are out on that highway, to be with us and to fellowship with us and to keep us in his care. And he has been just wonderful to do that very thing. So I want to praise him for being right there with us every step of the way. And we just had a wonderful time of fellowship together. So if you ever get a chance to do those kinds of things with each other, give God the glory for that, that he allows you to do that. And we've deepened our friendships here, too, through these trips. So God can touch you in so many ways. And we know that he's touched Sandy. We know he's touched Fran. We know that he can touch anyone who calls out his name. And many years ago, when I gave my life to the Lord, he touched me. Shackled by a heavy burden, 'neath a load of guilt and shame, then the hand of Jesus touched me. Touch you.
For that, Chris. We're talking the same kind of theme. Have you ever been bumped? So it's not really being touched by somebody, it's being bumped into by somebody. Some of the message this morning I've used from a guy named John Gaston. You don't want to plagiarize, you know, so I'm telling you, if you look him up, you'll get some of the stuff I'm talking about this morning. But how many of you have ever flown on an airplane? Most of you, right? Have you ever been bumped off a flight? No? I looked that up this week, and they can do that without even giving you a warning. They can just say your seat's been taken because they scheduled too many people on the plane, so they decide who they're going to bump off. And they may just bump you off at some point and say, well, you don't have a seat right now, and you don't have to consent to that. They can give you some kind of compensation, which usually they'll say, we'll offer you a different ticket or something, but don't take that. Tell them you want a new flight or whatever it is. Don't take the ticket because usually, like we did, we never used it. I mean, we got some tickets from I don't know how many years ago we never even used, but they can do that. Another way of getting bumped is at an amusement park. You ever been to an amusement park like that? I mean, I like the amusement park, sort of. I hate 90% of the rides. I do like the bumper cars. One of my favorite ones is the bumper cars. So my wife rides on all the things that spin and go up and down hills, and I eat food and just watch because I don't like any of those rides. But the bumper cars and driving the old cars, those are like my favorite things because I can control those. I can drive those around. Problem is I can't control others, right? You can't control what they're going to do to you. They can run into you. You don't know what direction they're going to come from, where you're going to get hit, those kind of things. But usually when the kids and I go, we pick out one person that we're going to bump into. And probably not nice, but one hits them from the front and one from the back. If you've ever been in that experience, that was us that did that to you probably. But you know, when you get hit by that, you're tempted. I mean, you may not be, but I'm tempted to find that person and hit them harder than they hit me. Just bump them a little bit harder. Not always the best thing to do, but sometimes it's what I do. Just confessing my sin to you this morning. But how many times do we do that in life? We get offended by somebody or they say something to us and we have to say something back to them. Or we have to respond to them. A little bit harder than they responded to us. Let's say something a little bit more hurtful to them. Well, if you ride bumper cars too long, eventually you're going to get caught by surprise and you're going to get hurt. Somehow your neck's going to get twisted or your back or whatever. So some of you have bad memories of bumper cars, sore neck or sore back or whatever it is. Most of my memories are good, though, but they're not always good to get bumped into. Life is like that, isn't it? You know you're going to get hit sometime. You don't know where or when it's going to happen, but you know sometime you're going to get bumped into, and you don't know how hard. Ever been bumped into life and not seen it coming? Like, where did this come from? What was that about? Happens with people all the time, what they say to you or what happens. But it happens literally in big crowds, doesn't it? There's that one person who's got to push through the crowd to get to where they're going, kind of move you out of the way or bump into you. And you get run into by somebody. It doesn't care if they're kids, it doesn't care if they're older people, it doesn't care who it is, they're just going to run into and get to the front of the line or whatever it may be. How would you respond to that? Would you elbow them when they went by? Would you say something to them? Or would you just let it go and say, well, I don't know what they're going through. Maybe they're trying to rush to get to somebody. Maybe their kid's up there and they lost them. I mean, Everybody responds differently. The problem is some people live with that philosophy. I'm going to do whatever I can do as long as I can do it until I get caught. And then when I get caught, it's going to be, well, it's somebody else's fault, right? Somebody else's problem. Somebody else made me do it. The problem is they're hurting others, and eventually you hurt yourself as well. You can bump around so many times until somebody actually bumps you back a little bit harder. You learn in life there's always somebody bigger, stronger, and smarter than you, no matter how big or strong or smart you think you are. There's always somebody else out there. So you need to be careful about how you live. They want to cheat, steal, break the law. They don't care until they get caught. But in any case, it's a lose-lose situation. Nobody wins in that situation. Everybody's a loser in that situation. When we get bumped as Christians, how should we respond? Well, we went to the Ark the other day. I was telling you about that, walking through there, and this kid runs into me and looks back at me like that. And I didn't have real warm, fuzzy feelings at that point. I didn't say anything to him, but I said it to my wife and brother-in-law. I'm like, did you see that kid look at me like, old man, what are you doing? I'm like, kid, you bumped into me. But I didn't say a word. I said, well, just let it go. Our natural instinct is when somebody bumps into us, like, oh, get off me, you know, like about or should be. I wonder what was happening with that. I wonder what the situation was. Maybe he lost his parents. Maybe he was trying to find somebody. Maybe he just wasn't paying attention. But we need to give those people that kind of grace when those things happen, don't we? Our first response is not always your best response, right? Should be the first response is keep your mouth shut and think about it before you respond. Usually it's open your mouth and say it and then think, that was kind of dumb. I probably shouldn't have said that, right? We need to think about what God wants to do. 1 Peter 3, 8 and 9 says, finally, all of you, be like-minded, be sympathetic, love one another, be compassionate and humble. Don't repay evil for evil or insult with insult. On the contrary, repay evil with a blessing, because to this you were called, so that you may inherit a blessing. Right? You're paying back evil for evil, yelling for yelling, hitting for hitting doesn't accomplish anything. It'd be a blessing to that person, so they're going to say, wow, I wonder why that person responded that way. I wonder why they're different. They must think I'm important instead of just a dumb kid walking around or whatever it may be, or a dumb adult. It's not just kids, right? It goes all the way from cradle to the grave. People do dumb things all the way through. Babies just don't know what they're doing. Well, I guess when we get older, sometimes we don't know what we're doing either, but it still happens. So when we get bumped or offended or wrong, it tells us to be sympathetic. Maybe ask yourself, I wonder why they did that. I wonder if there's something more that I don't know, instead of jumping to conclusions. I wonder what they're going through. I need to respond in love and think about them and how they're feeling. Have compassion, be humble, and not think that I'm better than them. Like, how could you bump into me? Who do you think you are? Don't you see that happening around different places? Who do you think you are? How did you do it to me? Instead of saying, well, that's okay. I can take that. If that's what you got, I can take that if you're having a bad day. And that's something we need to learn how to do. 1 Peter tells us to be countercultural. Don't be like everybody else. Don't repay evil for evil. Just because somebody does it to you doesn't mean you have to do it back to them. And that takes work, doesn't it? When somebody insults you or yells at you or whatever, you don't have to say anything back. I told you about soccer, a few months ago when that guy was cussing at me, right? Because I stepped on his foot, he was behind me like I was supposed to know he was there. In my mind, I was saying all kinds of stuff. But then I said, what would Jesus do? I just walked away. I just said, whatever, and I walked away. Because I thought, what kind of witness is that going to be if he's screaming at me and I scream back at him? The best thing to do is just walk away, and everybody's like, what was that about? He really overreacted. But if I had screamed back, they would have said, geez, you guys are kind of idiots out there. What happened to you guys? But sometimes people are screaming, you just walk away. You're not going to solve the problem. And then he came up and apologized later. He said, I kind of overreacted. And I'm like, yeah, you did. And it's been fine. We've gotten along pretty well ever since. But try to be a blessing to that person. Be an example to those around that are looking at you. Because somebody's always watching you. Especially if you say, I'm a Christian, they're going to watch you. What is he or she doing? How do they respond? What did they say? What those kind of things. And it can be your facial expressions, too. My wife will tell you that. She'll look at me and I'll like, I know you didn't say anything, but I saw your eyes. And I'm like, right? Can't hide your body reactions a lot of times. 1 Peter 2:23 says, when they hurled insults at him, which is about Jesus, he didn't retaliate. When he suffered, he made no threats. Instead, he entrusted himself to him who judges justly. So Jesus chose to trust God in the matter he was in, right? And the whipping and beating him and yelling at him and punching him and all these things they did to him, he could have annihilated him. He could have spoke out against him and said, you know, be gone, and they would have disappeared. But he chose not to because he had something that was better in mind. He had to fulfill the mission to save us. And if we think of ourselves as being in his place, we have a mission to fulfill so others will be Christians as well. We have an example to set for them. He didn't let others provoke him regardless of what they said. Remember as a kid, you'd say, sticks and stones will break my bones, but names will never hurt me. Not always true. Names can hurt you, but they can't make you do things. Right? They can call you whatever they want. It doesn't change who you are. But you got to choose how you're going to respond to that. I got a couple of real-life situations about people and things that happen in our lives. And think about how you would respond to this. You're driving down the highway. Somebody cuts you off. You swerve, barely saving your life. How do you respond? Have a good day. Idiot, stupid. How do you respond? That's a good question, isn't it? Your boss gets on your case without any cause. You've done everything right, and he's still, or she, whichever, is on your case. Well, you should have done this. You should have done this. This is what you should do. Well, I put in extra hours this week, boss. Yeah, not enough. How do you respond? A family member is belligerent and hateful to you. Do you say something to them or you just kind of say, well, I understand, you know, whatever. Your Christian values are mocked by someone who doesn't believe. A person at church ignores you. How many church splits are there because people feel like they're ignored? How do we respond, like Christ or like we think in our mind first? Our mind doesn't always think about what God would do. First thinks about what we would do, what's just, what we should do. If you take a deep breath and ask the Holy Spirit to guide you and say, what should I do in this situation? This is what I feel like doing. This is what I should do. And hopefully those get closer together. But in reality, those things hurt, don't they? Being rejected, somebody making a joke of you, cutting you off, ignoring you, Christians not talking, whatever it may be, they're real. They happen all the time, don't they? But how do we respond to those things? As a Christian, you're going to get bumped at some time or another in some way. And it shouldn't be a surprise. Look at the world that we live in. It's going to happen. Even if you're the most friendly person in the world, it's going to happen. My wife will tell you about we were in Macedonia, or were you in Greece at that time when the cars were coming in? This guy was cutting her off. And he was looking at her. She'll tell you the story sometime. I'll tell you my version. She'll tell you the real version later. He was getting cut off, and she was smiling. He said, you're smiling at me, but it's not a pretty face. And then as she drove along, he was yelling at her, and he smashed in the back of another car. But she wasn't doing anything wrong. But he was yelling at her because he was trying to cut her off. We'll be persecuted at times, but we need to expect it. 2 Timothy 3:12 says, in fact, everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. The hardest things are when it comes from your own family. Right? How can you believe that? This is stupid. I don't believe that. You're an idiot. Or whatever it may be. Or worse yet, those who really get upset with you. So how do we handle it? We can ignore it and brush it off, refuse to respond. We can use humor or laugh to yourself. So here's something you may think is a little bit funny. You know how many pints are in a quart, right? How many? Two. So Julie was on her way to a picnic. I'll change that. Kathy was on her way to a picnic. Isn't it nice that I'm up here and I can say pick you out like that? She forgot to pick something up from the store. She needed some potato salad, so she stopped at the store. When she went to the counter, she asked for a quart of potato salad. The clerk retorted, "We don't sell it by the quart." "Well, how do you sell it?" Kathy said. The clerk said, "We only sell it by the pint." So Kathy said, "Can I get 2 pints then?" The clerk said, "Sure. Do you want them both in one container?" Okay. What would you do in that situation? Would you kind of laugh to yourself, or would you say there's 2 pints in a quart? Or would you let it go? I mean, we have choices in every situation that we're in of what we can do. To encourage the person, build them up, to educate them maybe in some ways, or to make them feel stupid. We have those choices, don't we? And we've all been in situations where people made us feel dumb because we didn't know something. So you're in class, you're afraid to ask the question because I don't want to be the only one to ask the question. Well, everybody else is in the same situation. It's not dumb to ask the question, it's courageous because nobody else is going to do it. And you want to know the answer, and so do they. So maybe you could say to the girl, Kathy, next time you talk to her, "Did you know there's actually 2 pints in a quart?" "Oh, I didn't know that." She just may not know. Thanks, you're welcome. This is a practical situation to live out. Here's another one for you. One day an efficiency expert, it was Mike, who did a seminar on time management for a company's junior executives. He ended one of his lectures with a disclaimer: "Don't attempt these task organizing tips at home." And I thought, why not? We just gave us a seminar on how to organize tasks and do all these things. Why shouldn't we do them at home? Mike says, "Well, I did a study of my wife's routine for fixing breakfast," he said sheepishly. "She made a lot of trips between the refrigerator and stove and table and cabinets, often carrying only one item. So I said, 'Honey, why don't you try carrying several items at once so you can be more efficient?'" One of the executives said, "Did that save time?" Mike said, "Actually, yes. It used to take her 20 minutes to make my breakfast, and now it only takes me 7 to make my own." Sometimes you get bumped and we hold a grudge, don't we? We think, "You're the person who did that to me. You're the one who said that." And we don't let it go, but every time we see him, it brings it up again, and it's there and there and there. I read a quote this week that said, "Holding a grudge is letting someone live rent-free in your head." I can think about some time when somebody had done something, and it's still there. Leviticus 19:18 says, "You shall not take vengeance or bear a grudge against the sons of your own people. You shall love your neighbors yourself, and I am the Lord." So it says, as Christians, we shouldn't hold grudges, especially against other Christians. We don't need to mull the hurts over and over again. If you forgive those hurts, then you can let them go. Don't get angry every time you think about it, because love is the answer. Luke 6:27, starting in 27. "But to you who are listening, I say, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, pray for those who mistreat you. If someone slaps one cheek, turn the other. If he takes your coat, do not demand it back. Do to others as you would have them do to you. If you do good to those who are good to you, what credit is that? Even sinners do that. But love your enemies, and you'll be children of the Most High, because He is kind to the ungrateful and the wicked." That's a pretty powerful statement, isn't it? That'd be good if we could live by that all the time. Right? We try to. I mean, I try to. I don't always live by that. If somebody slapped me in the face, I'd have a hard time just turning and say, "Slap me on that side." He's not necessarily talking about literal getting slapped in the face. He's talking about being offended. Somebody offends you, just kind of let it go. Right? Kind of start over. We do that with kids. When they offend us, we let it go. We don't hold a grudge. Say, "You little kid, you never told that to me." Right? And they say, "You're stupid, I hate you." Right? You don't keep that in your mind like, "Oh, you're the kid who said I was stupid and hateful." You just let it go and say, that's just a kid, they'll get over it. I forgive you for that." Do we do it for adults, though? They say hurtful things to us, or we've said hurtful things to them. Don't we hope they're going to forgive us? And let us start anew instead of, "Oh, you did that. Well, yeah, that was 15 years ago. People still have grudges from people 15 years ago that they haven't let go. Families and brothers and sisters are divided because something was said and never fixed. Parents and kids, never fixed. And then one of them dies and you're like, man, I wish I would have, right? You need to reconcile those situations the best you can. He tells us to love, bless, pray, and do good. I got several examples this morning, which I always don't use a whole bunch of examples, but these are examples I think are important. A woman named Janet Seaver was assigned to work with Rose, a middle-aged woman with graying hair. Nothing she did could please Rose, and her words stung. All day long, Rose bossed Janet and told her all she did wrong. That night, Janet was fighting back tears and prayed, Lord, what do you want me to do? I can't take much more of this. But the Lord impressed on her, caught her completely by surprise. She needed to love Rose. Janet replied, Lord, I can't love Rose. You'll have to do it through me. The days that followed, Janet surrounded Rose with a warm blanket of prayers. She prayed, Lord, help me to love Rose. An amazing thing happened. Janet started seeing Rose as a hurting person that she was. She learned that she had elderly parents who needed her care. She had health problems as well, and her alcoholic husband was there, and she was thinking of leaving him. She didn't know Rose had all those problems. Rose was reacting because she was feeling all these things. And when she found out, that changed the relationship, didn't it? Can I pray for you about that situation? What can I do to help? Well, we don't always tell people what's going on in our lives. We just react because of something that's happened to us. But if they knew, they would understand. And maybe we need to say, well, why did you do that? There's something going on that I don't know. Teddy Roosevelt said, and you've heard this, people don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. Right? You don't always have to give a solution. Sometimes you just need to be there to listen to them or to help them out or whatever. You don't always need to fix everybody. That's what God's there for, to fix them. Rick Warren said, God teaches us to love by putting some unlovely people around us. Have any unlovely people around you? If you don't yet, you will. So you can learn what love really is. You can learn how to love somebody, what it really truly means. Instead of just saying the words, you have to actually do it. What kinds of people should we show love to? First of all, to other Christians. Those in the body of Christ, they're part of our body. If we harm them, we're harming ourselves, aren't we? If we build them up, we're building up ourselves. And that's what we should be doing, to be a witness for Him. Need to be showing love to those who are unsaved, even those who are rude, abrasive, who don't represent Christ. If we're rude back to them, we're going to drive them farther away. But if we're different, they may say, something's different about you. You're not like everybody else, in a good way. Somebody once said, remember, the lost are watching us. A woman told a preacher that he had won her to Christ. And he asked the woman, what sermon was it? She said, none. It was when a man criticized you and you answered with kindness that I knew you were really from God. So it wasn't his message, it was the way that he acted and the way he treated people. It showed him what he really believed. So many times our actions speak louder than our words. Who else should we love? People who are hurting. Philippians 2:4, each of you should look not only to your own interests, but also the interests of others. Sometimes our first instinct is, what about me? What am I going to get out of this? Why are you eating my cookie? Whatever it may be, right? Why'd you do it to me? Instead of the other person. What have you been through? Maybe your business failed. Maybe you have no friends. Maybe you're sick. Maybe you're going through a divorce, lost a loved one. Maybe you need a touch of compassion. Maybe somebody just to stand beside you or just to be with you. Many times you go to the hospital when somebody's having an operation and a loved one is there. Just being there makes a difference. You don't have to tell them everything. You just to be there so somebody's there and know that they care. Say, well, I'm praying for you. Remember the Good Samaritan? He helped somebody he wasn't even really friendly with, but even paid for his room, paid for all the stuff he needed. Why? Because the guy needed help. And he was an example to help somebody. Well, I got one more example to share. Some of you may be able to relate to this, about making judgments about people before we know everything. It says you're nervous, scared, and shaken. You were just involved in an automobile accident. Anybody ever been there? Several times. Not always my fault. Your passengers stuck in the vehicle and your local firefighters are doing everything they can to get them out quickly and safely. It's human nature to panic, which is what you're doing. Pacing the scene, trying to get information, trying to process what's just happened. There's a firefighter walking back to the engine to get something and you follow him, trying to ask him what's going on. He freezes for a moment and is staring right at you, actually right through you. Your emotions get the best of you and you start yelling, but he can't hear you. He isn't being rude. He doesn't have an attitude. He's having a flashback because the last time he had one of these incidents, it didn't turn out as good as this one. He's seeing in his mind the entrapment that will haunt him forever, despite his best efforts. His team did not get to save the passenger last time in his mind. When he zones back in and answers you directly as he's grabbing an extra airbag to stabilize the vehicle, you know he isn't giving you attitude. He's telling you straight so he can get back to your crushed vehicle and successfully save your loved ones. What kind of attitude would you have, right, if you didn't know the background? These guys, rude, he's ignoring me, my friends in the car, they're in danger, not knowing how many times he's saved people and lost people, and thinking about that, can we save this one? I'm doing the best I can. But you're thinking that you're being ignored. So as Christians, we can be healing to others, or we can be hurting to others. Colossians 3:13, make allowances for each other's faults. Forgive anyone who offends you. Remember the Lord forgave you, so you must forgive others. That sounds like a commandment, doesn't it? Lord forgave you, you must forgive others. It's not an option. You need to work out how you're going to be able to do that. Ask God for help to do that. I'll summarize this last story about a little girl. It was from a Christian family in the church. She was at lunch at school, and some of the friends decided to put some pencil shavings into her sandwich. So they put pencil shavings into her sandwich, looked at her, waited for a response, and nothing happened. They thought, wow, what's going on? Came back the next day. She had made cookies for all the kids that did that to her that say, Jesus loves you, and gave it out to those people in the class. What kind of witness do you think that made for all those kids? She didn't retaliate how guilty they should have felt for what they did to her, and she didn't do. She did good to them, not bad to them. So in life, sometimes it's like a bumper car. Sometimes we get bumped into, don't we, from all different directions. This is a soccer player getting fouled from the back. How do you get up and respond? Do you get up and yell and scream at the person? Or do you say, God, help me respond the way that I should? Help me to forgive others and forgive me sometimes for the way I respond to others so I can be a witness for you. So let's pray this morning. Father, we just ask you to be with us this morning. Lord, give us your grace. Help us to be with those who may not treat us correctly. Help us to know how to respond appropriately to family, to friends, to those we don't know. Lord, forgive us for the times that we've responded inappropriately. Help us to learn from those times. Help us to be better people, better representatives of you. In your name, amen.